Alison Morris, the journalist and commentator, and the journalist and commentator Alex Kane with us this morning as well. Alison, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good morning. And Alex, good morning to you.
Morning, Alison.
Good morning. So just a little bit of self-disclosure. It was my company that made the programme last night. So when you two are commenting on it, feel free to criticise it as much as you want. Let's broaden this, Alex. Well, before we do broaden it, just your reaction, Alex. We've talked a lot in Northern Ireland about, you know, gay rights and equality, and that's, I guess, what Sinn Féin are saying they are holding out for. When you hear someone in this society that young saying they just wish they were treated as a human being in school.
I tweeted last night, Stephen, to Alex, who says I was hugely impressed. I think it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what the minority right is, whatever it is. That's who Alex is. That's Alex is confident. He's passionate. He's articulate. He's no doubts as a binary. No doubts about.
Alex wants to be referred to as they.
They.
So well, it's not they. He or she.
That's fine. That's one of the difficulties. That may be one of the difficulties Alex will find. It's sometimes people aren't quite sure how to address. And when they're not sure how to address, Stephen, sometimes it's easier for them to go into box labelling and turning on them. But actually, I think Alex's point about, you know, about school and so on, I really suspect, Stephen, you know how cynical I am, but I suspect an awful lot of people who are aware of Alex at school, having watched They Last Night, will actually go, wow. But I like to think that a lot of those people who doubts and so on will have pride today that someone at their schools even had that level of maturity to stand up for the beliefs that matter to them. I just thought, I was hugely impressed. And you know, Stephen, it takes a lot for me to be, wow, that made me rethink my own positions on some things.
Alison?
I think that what it made me think was Alec is a very confident and outgoing and vocal and articulate and intelligent young person. But imagine how many young people who don't have that confidence and who are struggling with their gender and their sexuality. I think it will have really helped them, because while Alex had the confidence to go into school and be who Alex wants to be, it's difficult for a lot of children, and you know that they're struggling. They don't know whether what they're thinking is correct. And I think the teachers have a very hard time at this point in time, especially with education cuts, trying to make sure that they're embracing all children and all. I have three children, and no two of them are the same. They're all different. Children are, you know, they'll all do their own thing. They have their own interests, and they all want to be, you know, an individual person. But I think all the young people on your programme last night, because I watched it, you know, with my mouth open and thinking, I mean, the commentators that you have on regularly, myself and Ali Kane included, could quite easily be replaced with any of those young people. I mean, they were so informed, so briefed, so on top of their politics.
And there's so many like that. I've been going through quite a few schools and youth groups, and let me tell you, there are so many like that. This country is these people who say, oh, young people don't have much to say, they're not engaged in politics, they can't express themselves. They are out of touch big time. There are so many young people. And let's broaden this, Alex and Alison. We'll get your views in the programme. And I emphasise again, if you want to criticise it, do so. The first question we asked is devolution dead. Have a listen to 17-year-old Archie, who said he still wanted devolution for Northern Ireland.
Of course I want devolution for Northern Ireland. What we need is a democratic mandate for our MLAs, and that cannot be achieved. You cited their direct rule, and you cited what sounds like a voluntary coalition where these people don't want to be in government and they're being forced and it's not fair. But I'd like to ask Mr. O'Mullier, would you actually subscribe to a voluntary coalition? Is it something that's workable? Because surely it's better to have half of our government not wanting to be there, being there at all, than half of our government not being represented.
I'll tell you
half
what's
of
best.
Our electorate not being
best.
Represented.
Allowing the electorate to do what they can do anywhere else in the world, vote a party out of government. And the absurdity of mandatory coalition is that you, the electorate, are denied the right to change your
government.
Well,
he's telling you what he
You're
wants.
You're denied
tell
the
him.
Right right. You're denied the right to vote a party out of government because of the absurdity of mandatory coalition.
We're not denied the right to vote a party out of government.
You are.
We're not denied the right to vote a party out of the executive.
Because of mandatory coalition, all parties have got a handful of seats.
Out of the executive.
As of right to be in government.
Yes, we can vote them out of the executive. We can vote them out of the executive. Yes, we can by stop voting for them. You know, the DUP, they're losing seats.
They are entitled as of right to be in government. And you have to grasp that point.
Why are they entitled to be in government? Because people are voting for them. Like it or not, Mr. Alistair, people are voting for Sinn Féin. People are voting for the DUP. A system which denies these votes. A system in which they're not in government.
Alex?
A point I think is worth making about the whole programme, Stephen. It concerned me slightly, and I think that the first time we did this, you and I talked about it. There was a shoutiness among the young people as well. There was a division among the young people. One thing I would have looked for, and I agree very much with Alison's point, we always talk about a new generation of politicians, that we do need a new generation of commentators, people who can sit back with a sort of dispassionate worldview and talk about things. And yes, she's absolutely right. Any one of those four struck me as people who are commentators in the making, if that's a path they chose to go down. But one thing I would have looked for, Stephen, if you're looking at the next generation, if you're talking about people who will make a difference, who are not simply passionate and articulate, but you will have been through a lot of people. You would have seen these people are good. They're not going to freeze if you put a camera on them. They're not going to freeze, you know, if a politician's sitting across them. What I was looking for, and maybe I'd given the age there, this was hopelessly, delusional of me. What I was looking for was someone who would say, well, actually, have any of you considered doing this? You've had 20 years, you've failed this. You failed in the mandatory coalition, you failed in the voluntary coalition. You can't agree on this, you can't agree on that. Have actually any of you thought of doing it this way instead? I would have liked to hear that. But, you know, on the wider point, you know, were they informed? Yes, they were informed. Were they able to stand up? Oh, my goodness me. I mean, I did tweet somewhere. At one point, I wish Jim would just shut up and let people finish making a point. They held their ground, Stephen. I mean, politics, I do a lot of debating stuff with youngsters. That's the most important thing. The ability to actually say, no, this is what I believe, this is what matters. But they still need, if you're talking about that next generation, Stephen, they still need to come in with that something slightly different.
Do you think, Alison, the next generation is going to punch through, can change things in Northern Ireland, or is it going to be more the same?
I think they've been brought up very differently than what my childhood was. You know, I was brought up myself faster in the Troubles, and so I have a very different view of Northern Ireland, and my childhood shaped that. Whereas my kids and those children who came after that, I think they have a very different view of politics in general. I mean, some of them you could see that they were going back to the sort of the politics probably of their parents, but most of them had very different and opposing views. But I will say one thing, Stephen, I did notice on Twitter, we had a young guy on last night who was, I think he was a DUP supporter. He was.
Jonathan Duranja is a DUP supporter.
Jonathan, I noticed on Twitter a lot of people giving him a hard time. And just as Alec is entitled to have views that are completely alternative to probably how most people live their life or think young people should be living their life, and we should embrace that and we should support Alec. That young guy is also entitled to his views, whether you like them or not. I think on social media there's a tendency, and I like to think of myself as a very liberal and socialist person, but there's a tendency to think that our views are the only ones that count. And somebody, because they do have very conservative views, don't. And Jonathan was equally entitled to his views without being bullied or harangued or people making snidey comments about him on social media.
Well, Jonathan
he was a very, very outspoken young man too.
Jonathan also, he was a DUP supporter, but his own party, the DUP, said they didn't have time to come and they didn't have time to come to the programme, so they didn't have time to support the young people, or, you know, you have a DUP person there, but the actual party couldn't come, didn't come.
And so people can say to Jonathan, I disagree with your views, and he said, why do I disagree with your views? But they also shouldn't be abusing that young man on social media because of his views. And he's very entitled to them.
And to be clear with the DUP, they say they didn't have time because of the talks process, which leads us then, Alex, on to, I don't know if you noticed when I asked Sinn Féin to make their position clear as to, Gerry Adams has been very clear, there will be no government without a standalone Irish Language Act. But I asked last night, will there be a government if there is no same-sex marriage for Northern Ireland? Let's have a listen to what Martin O'Muir said.
Let me say two things. First, even on the top table, even on the top table, I don't want to negotiate what's happening in the talks. But I will say this, we need as a society to make enormous progress on this issue.
This is about making a commitment to some of these people sitting in front of you. Well, or else Jonathan telling him, no, it's not a red line. So will there be a government if there's no same-sex marriage in Northern Ireland?
If there isn't equality and respect for all our people, there'll be no government.
That's loose. That's broad.
Well, let's keep it as broad as well. But I'm telling you, we're not going back to the status quo.
Jerry Adams didn't keep it broad about Irish language.
Did you read anything in Alex Cain to the fact that Marcina Mueller wasn't able to say if there's no same-sex marriage, no government?
No, I was more or less the answer I thought he was going to give, Stephen. The Irish language is it is a red line for them. I think because they probably are of the opinion that, well, first of all, he doesn't want to give any hostages to fortune because that would be the main headline. Marcina Mueller says no government unless you know, the same-sex marriage is laws change and so on. He wasn't going to say that. I'm just wondering, Stephen, this is just me thinking about this. Somebody threw in the petition of concern. I'm just wondering if the DUP said, look, we personally won't sign up to this, but next time it comes to the floor, we won't insist on a petition of concern. We will give a free vote. That would allow the executive to be and the assembly to be up and running without the DUP having formally shifted, because they'll be saying, look, if all our members and a few Ulster units decide, there's nothing we can do to stop that. So, yeah, that's obviously in the mix somewhere. But just very quickly before you go to the next bit, can I just say one thing, and it just struck me when Alison was talking there. Well, the young people in the politics, well, it was an interesting engagement. Again, in the future programme, I'd like to see young people themselves, no politics, none of the old gang at all, none of the old guard, just young people, the ones who are clearly interested in politics, who have an interest maybe in journalism or commentary or getting elected. I'd like to hear them talk about what their plans and what their vision is. Because I know with Jim and Martine and Stephen, I know what I'm going to say and all the others. I'd just like to hear what all of these young people, not just what they're saying in reaction to the old guard.